Hello and welcome to the second podcast for the Football Sack for 2011. My name is Matt Greenlaw, and with me, as always, is Pete Novakovsky. Say hello, Pete.
Greetings.
Thank you very much. How you going, mate?
I'm going very well, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm not bad. Did my knee, but, you know, soccer is good and bad at times.
Yeah, well, you should see the other guy who went into that challenge.
He's knocked down.
Yeah, he walked away, the better man.
So. With my injured knee, he's down for the count.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, not really.
We were supposed to be bringing you a video instead of recording a podcast tonight, but Pete, what happened, mate?
Well, many of our listeners who listened last week would know that I made the mistake of going to a Rochdale match on the wrong day. So
you did.
Getting my days confused, as I generally do, we were meant to be heading off to the film shoot tonight, and
where did you drive us to, Pete? Where did you drive us to?
Well, we accidentally ended up at the Football Sack studio.
And what happened to your car then?
I ran out of petrol.
Yeah, you did. You ran out of petrol. So we're stuck here. We're stuck in the Football Sack studio. So we thought we'd provide a podcast. So here we are. Let's start the show.
So, for starters, let's cross to the A-League news desk to catch up on the recent news.
Former Arsenal striker Robert Perez could be making a surprise move to the A-League in a bid to continue his playing career. Matthew Kemp has been ruled out of the remainder of the ACL campaign after undergoing surgery on his knee 3 months after returning from a full knee reconstruction. The next piece of news is the most lol-tastic piece of news I've ever heard. Former Newcastle Jets player Adam De Puzzo headed to Sydney FC for a one-week trial. On day one, he re-injured his left ankle and will now sit out on the sidelines for at least 2 weeks. Now back to Matt and Pete with all the A-League transfers.
Thank you very much for that. So let's move on to some transfer news.
Yeah, let's do that. I hear that Robbie Cruz is off.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I am so happy to see him leave the A-League.
Okay, well, I'm maybe not as happy as you, but good luck. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Good move.
It is a good move. He's made the confident move of moving to second division German side Fortuna Düsseldorf.
That's a bit hard to pronounce.
It is. So it's almost as good as Lubo Milicevic.
Which we'll move on to later.
Yeah. The other big transfer news of the week has been the 23-year-old centre-forward, Giancarlo Solazano.
And they tie in together, don't they? Because Solazano has moved to Victory, where Robbie has just left.
Very much so. So he'll move in with the attack of already Danny Alsop and Archie Thompson.
Which is good. Good for the team with no...
Well, they have no coach.
No head coach yet, yeah.
Yeah, they have no coach, yet they have three centre-forwards who all want to play at the same time.
Interesting. Let's see how that goes, how it pans out for the rest of the... Does he come on board for the ACL campaign?
Not unless Victory make it past the group stages, because I believe after the group stages, Robbie Cruz will join the German side, so Solazano should be right to join at then.
Okay.
But at the moment, Victory is sitting bottom of the table, and they do not look likely to move any further than that. So,
poor guys. There's no hope.
Sydney FC, on the other hand, oh yeah.
Okay, let's leave our allegiances in the car park with your car. Robbie Cruz, he's in the Socceroos camp at the moment.
That is correct.
As are a lot of other Socceroos. And they're facing Germany tomorrow night.
Well, tomorrow morning, actually.
Well, tomorrow morning, okay.
5:45 a.m. I believe the broadcast is starting.
Set your clocks.
I will maintain my general stance on national team football and be asleep for this one.
Oh. Well, give us your preview anyway.
Okay, please. My preview for the game. Well, Holger Ozier has caught up James Holland, Adam Serrada, and Brent McGrath up to the full squad, who's already got Nikita Rakovitz, got Robbie Cruz, and the man of the moment, Borussia Dortmund keeper Mitch Langrock. Which really, it is a good move to have so many youngsters coming in, because we've got Timmy Cahill, who's just recently pulled out of the squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, I would hope to see all these kids get a run at some point.
Well, I would also, what do you think about Mitch Langerak getting a run? Because I want to see him on the pitch.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see him get 45 minutes, if possible.
I'd even like to see him in goals.
Well, if he's in the centre of the park, kudos to him. But really, if he's in goals for the second half, I'd be in favour of that. I might even wake up to watch the game if someone sent me a message to let me know that.
Yeah, it's about time that someone else gets a run, isn't it?
Well, there's only so many games that Mark Schwarzer can actually play, isn't there?
Yeah. So, move over, Schwarzer.
Let's move to the German side now, yep. Where the coach, Lowe, has decided that he's not going to make it a competitive game, rather than make it a training game. He's left out a number of big stars, including Real Madrid midfield man, Ozil. I'm not sure what to expect. We've got Michael Ballack, who's going to be on the bench.
Yeah. A lot of the media has come out and said that this is a revenge match, a grudge match for the Aussies.
Could not disagree any more than that. It's a horrible label using this revenge term. It's just a friendly.
It is.
Really, we don't have anything to be disappointed about. We lost 4-0 in the World Cup because we deserve to lose 4-0 in the World Cup.
You want them to win lots, don't you? By, like, many, many goals. Do you not want that to happen? By 4 goals, 3 goals, 2 goals, wouldn't you?
I'm putting it out there. If the Socceroos win by 2 goals or more against the Germans tomorrow, I will wear my Melbourne Victory scarf at the next Sydney FC home ACL game.
I just wanted him to say that because we organised before the show, we agreed that he would, if the Socceroos win by more than 2 goals, he's going to wear the Melbourne Victory jersey at the ACL Sydney FC match, which is, he might get bashed by me.
and to be honest, I'm not afraid of that. That game is Sydney FC versus Kashima Antlers, which is taking place on the 6th of April. If the Socceroos can pull off 2 goals or more against the Germans, I will wear this scarf.
Because you don't think that'll happen?
No, God, no. I'm saying it's going to be a one-all boring draw.
Does that about wraps up the Socceroos match?
Yeah. Well, let's move to a more local stance now.
A lot of action over the weekend in the state leagues, which we've been reporting on quite heavily.
We even got an email from man in the moment, Brian Dean.
Yeah, so Parramatta FC coach Brian Dean has got in contact with us. And you might remember from last week on the podcast,
called his hair angelic.
It's lovely haircut. And he's replied. He's let us know how to style his hair. Okay, so he said, what did he say? I've lost it.
You require
a good template.
A spirit level. And number one clippers.
And that's cool. So I like that he's a bit of a character, is Brian Dean. And great for the Premier League, the New South Wales Premier League.
Well, he almost pulled off the win against Bonnyrigg. You were at that game. It ended as a 2-2 draw.
It was a gripping match. It was gripping. They went 1-0 up quite early on in the match. They drew 1-1 and straight away got another goal back, and they were leading two goals to one for much of the match, first half, second half. On the 90th minute, the 90th minute had gone, and it was stoppage time. In the third minute of stoppage time, Bonnyrigg get their equaliser. And that was the last play of the day, and they pull off this freak 2-2 draw. And it was very similar to, I felt, the A-League Grand Final, where Central Coast had it seemingly wrapped up, then just gave it all away.
You can't knock back Bonnyrigg. They are a good squad, and they keep fighting until the very end.
They hustled. They hustled really well.
Parramatta just stood in the corner, tried to play around the football. You can't do that. Sorry. You need that third goal to finish off the game, and they didn't get it.
They did well. And with the 10 minutes, as you say, with 10 minutes to go, they went to the corner and tried to time waste. And even the goalkeeper, Tom Romich for Parra, that he got a yellow card for time wasting. You don't do that with 10 minutes to go. You've got to keep pressing or keep defending.
The only way you're going to win a game is to score goals. And I'm sorry, guys, but you only got the draw out of it. You really have to push that third goal to win it.
Yeah.
Well, Olympic did against Wollongong Wolves. Sorry, South Coast Wolves.
Before you go on to that, can I just say also that this game drew similarities to not just the A-League Grand Final, but down in the VPL, the Victorian Premier League, Springvale versus Richmond this week. Springvale are a new team to the VPL. They were promoted last season from the State Leagues.
Very much like Parramatta.
Yeah, much like Parramatta. They also, well, they went one better than Parramatta, and they upset Richmond, who topped the table last year, and won quite convincingly 4-1. So
that's a brilliant effort.
Good on them. Take notice, Parramatta. That's how you do it.
Mm.
Sorry, continue about South Coast Wolves.
So I was down in Wollongong for the Wolves versus Olympic match. So it was one of those games whereby Sash Petrovsky playing up front, he uses his A-League experience, he holds up the ball well, he tries to bring other players into the action and so on, but it just doesn't seem to be working at the moment. The Wolves players are either boot the ball up the field and try and chase it down, or it's let's play it through the middle because Lawrence Drake, the holding midfielder, is going to be able to move it around. And really, against a team like Olympic, who are very physical on the ball, off the ball, they challenge everything, they knock you down kind of thing, you can't win a game like that. You have to try and just score the goals. And Wolves just didn't really threaten. Like, they hit the crossbar within the first 15 minutes. That was a brilliant effort. But with Paul Henderson in goals, who is the former Central Coast and Fury goalkeeper, really, Olympic just looked too strong at the back.
Do you think that now that the Wolves have Sasha Petrovsky, are they just knocking it to him in hope?
Yeah, they're just leaving him up front by himself and just be saying to him, here you go, mate, do something with the ball, score a goal.
So is that then a hindrance to how they've performed in the past, and are they going to be relying too heavily on
Petrovsky? I think so. They have the similar style with Jacob Timpano at the back. They kind of just leave him there and just tell him, here you go, mate, you're in the back line, save us a goal. Rather than trying to use him properly, because he's that centre back who's meant to be that link to the midfield. For the last 15 minutes of the game, he actually played up front with Sash Petrovsky, which, he's a tall lad, but he's a defender. He's not meant to be up front by himself.
Interesting decision there to put Timpano up front.
Trevor Morgan, you're a genius.
Well, it didn't work. It didn't work. Well, at 3-0 down, it's probably an idea to do something, to mix things up a bit.
Yeah, would you rather lose 1-0 or lose 3-0? That's my issue.
Well, opening round, I would rather lose 1-0.
There you go.
Okay, let's preview next week's match. We've picked what we think will be...
The game that we're looking forward to the most is Marconi Stallions versus Sydney United. It's taking place at Marconi Stadium at 7:30 PM on Saturday, the 2nd of April.
Okay, Pete, give us a bit of a rundown. These two teams, they both come from the NSL, obviously. United have a couple of new key signings.
That's true. Well, United have picked up Ufuk Tale and Mark Reardon in the off-season. They ended up having a 2-2 draw with the international squad, also known as Manly United. So, Marconi managed to defeat Bankstown City 3-1.
But that doesn't really... Bankstown, they're a largely new squad. Half their players went to Olympic.
That's true, except with a new coach and you've got a whole bunch of new players, you'd think that in the first round that you're trying to play a competitive match, you'd be trying to push forward as much as possible to show off to your coach why you should be in the starting 11. So you'd think that you would be able to get the win in your first game.
Hmm.
Didn't happen. But we've rated Marconi and Sydney United as the match of the round, mainly because we find it's going to be the most entertaining game.
Yeah, both teams have a lot of history behind them. Kind of like a couple of other teams down in the VPL, South Melbourne and the Melbourne Knights. And they played this past week.
Yeah, that was the match of the round for Football Victoria. So...
Yeah,
it was a good match. Lubo Milicevic had a interesting game.
Sorry, wait, what?
Lubo Milicevic.
That's how you say it. That's how you...
I'm not practicing.
We agreed that we have to say it like that from now on.
Yeah. Otherwise, every podcast for the rest of the season now.
Otherwise, it's a dollar in the jar, mate. And that's...
Well, dollar in the jar already.
Nice sound effects there.
Almost as good as my Echo machine from last week.
Yeah. So they... South Melbourne got up last week against the Knights. Good on them.
2-1 the result was in the end of that game. South Melbourne defeating Melbourne Knights. So I expect good things from South Melbourne. They have a good squad. Their Twitter feed is amazing. I'm putting it out there. Follow them at South Melbourne.
Yeah.
And
it's good to see teams. It's good to watch and be involved with the atmosphere of teams that have that history behind them. And I guess a lot of teams in the state leagues do.
Yeah, well, Sydney Olympic is another club who have a Twitter feed, and they update it daily. They're brilliant to talk to. They always have interesting articles and interesting posts.
Which brings me to, we found through Twitter, that was a goal. They are a WA state league blog.
Yeah, a couple of great guys who basically just talk about state league football in WA, because it doesn't actually get any media attention that we can see over here on this coast.
So they're doing a blog for us, or a weekly wrap of the games that weekend in the All Flags WA State League. And they also have their own website, thatwasgoal.com, which does state league stuff, but also general football stuff. And they've got their own podcast as well, I think.
Yeah.
It's not quite in competition with us, but in that we don't report on the same stuff. I'm sure they're very good.
They got nominated for Footy Fans Down Under Awards. Where was their nomination?
Hey, they're our friends, mate. We would nominate for you guys. That was a goal. Specifically, Andrew and Adriano. We love you guys. Thank you so much for your efforts and your weekly blog posts on our site. Great.
Just talking about Footy Fans Down Under, the voting is still happening. So look us up. It's ffdu.net. You can jump on there, vote for us. We've got people who are up for Writer of the Year. You've got people who are up for the Podcast of the Year. That's Christian and Jack. And
good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I've got now for you, Pete? I thought this podcast needs a few more segments. It's coming up to Easter, and I've got a Cadbury's cream egg here.
Bit of product placement there, guys.
Yeah, and we're not advertising Cadbury's cream egg, so don't go and buy one.
Just because of us.
Yeah, on behalf of us. Pete, I'm going to ask you three questions that are relevant to this week, or just in general, to football in general. And if you answer them correctly, you get this cream egg. If you don't answer them correctly, I'm going to smash this cream egg in your face. And we agreed to this. You said that was fine.
I tell you what, though, that egg does look extraordinarily tasty, so I'm willing to take up this chance.
And we do actually have an egg here. I can rustle the wrapper. All right. Hang on. There you go. That's the wrapper rustling.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Okay, I have three questions. Number one, who is Angelo Petratos?
That's an interesting question. I remember seeing a tweet on the weekend asking how he was doing in the Parramatta versus Bonnaroo game. So, really, it's a 50-50 opportunity here that I'm getting it either right or wrong. I'm going to put my money on that he was in the Parramatta squad.
He was.
And that he is a ex-Sydney Olympic player and probably going to be Dimi Petratos' dad.
Correct, but this is a two-part question. How many minutes did he play on the weekend?
Oh, no way, I was not at that game. I am going to take a guess and say that he played 62 minutes.
Wrong! 5 minutes.
He played five
he
minutes?
He played 5 minutes. They subbed him on with... 88 minutes to go on the clock.
Wow, I've already lost this challenge. Damn.
If you can answer the next two questions, you redeem yourself.
Okay.
Who said, some people say football is a matter of life and death. It's not. It's more than that.
Well, there's only one guy who could have said this, and he is a legend to me. I quote him constantly. He is none other than Bill Shankly.
That's right. Bill Shankly, good mate.
Buy us a beer.
Finally, final question. It's a really simple question. Let's see how you go.
I'm not looking forward to this question.
I've got the cream egg in my hand. How old is Lubo Milosevic?
Oh, no way. He has to be either 28, 29. Ooh. He could be more towards 31. I'm going to say 31.
Wrong! He's 30!
Oh. Oh, this is not fun. I wish you guys could see this.
We may put
I hands up. Cream running down my face. It's not pretty.
Lovely. That's that you can eat that now, Pete. You could have that.
Thank you. Not good. Sorry.
Happy Easter, everyone. Just a couple other mentions before we close out this relatively short show today. We have a new writer.
Hooray!
Yeah, and not just any writer, she is a female.
No way!
Yay!
I don't know, saying she kind of gave it away there,
though. Yeah. Melanie Dzinjaski, welcome to the Football Sack. You join Claire Polkinghorne as our second female writer.
Hooray!
Claire is going to be writing for us during the Women's World Cup over in Germany.
As long as she gets picked.
As long as she gets picked. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, there's a training camp coming up at about midway through April. And I might have to go down, give the coach a bit of a nudge and a wink to make sure that Claire gets selected for this squad.
Tom, we're looking at you. You need to select Claire Polkinghorne.
Please, mate.
No. I'm not saying please. You need to pick her.
Well, it's a good bad cop situation.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know people. I know people that can do very bad things if you don't pick Claire Polkinghorne in the women's squad. Just saying.
Would this include emptying people's petrol out of their car? Maybe. So we can't actually go anywhere.
Maybe. We haven't talked about the Women's League yet.
Mm. Yeah, something I have been quite fascinated to find out more and more about is the Women's Premier League.
The New South Wales. Yeah.
We had round one, which saw a mammoth 41 goals scored.
That's a lot of goals.
It is. Well, the number 41 kind of gave it away as well. Round two was kept out. Thank you, Mother Nature, for making it rain.
Yeah, so it's washed out. And then how many goals in round three?
Round three, we saw the disappointing number of 33 goals.
Only 33 goals. Cure.
Pick up your act, girls. Come on, more goals need to be scored.
And there was one match in particular where about half of these goals were scored.
Yeah, a quick shout out to Sydney University women's team,
mm-hmm.
who managed to beat Southern Branches, which is the Nowra squad.
Yeah.
12-0.
12-0!
Yeah.
That's a lot of goals!
It's a healthy scoreline. Although, I'm still not putting it in the league of Australia versus American Samoa when we defeated them 31-0.
Well, that's almost the entire week's worth of goals there.
Almost.
But the women's...
Yeah, the women's New South Wales Premier League. Women's
Premier League. Takes the cake. 33 goals this week. Good on you, girls. South Nowra, Southern Branches, you need to stop. I don't know, fix up your defence.
Well, yeah, you're sitting on a minus 21 goal difference. You managed to lose the first game 9-0. And
admittedly, Sydney...
Things aren't looking good.
Well, Sydney Uni are favourites to win this year. Yeah, well, so
you have to say that they're favourites.
To have them up third round, is a bit unfortunate for the Southern Branches.
Yeah. Well, other matches which we should mention is Illawarra Stingrays defeating Inter Lions 4-1, which is quite a good score because Illawarra actually won the premiership last season. So they've started their title defence really well. You had MacArthur Rams, who had a 2-2 draw with Sutherland Shire. That's their second draw within as many weeks. You also had Central Coast, who made the long trip down to Western Sydney, New South Wales, Panthers.
There are some long commutes in the Women's Premier League, isn't there?
There are. In round one, we saw Central Coast make the trip to Bathurst.
That's a long way. It's a long way.
It is.
Pete, you have some involvement in the women's game now. You are going to be co-hosting a show.
This is correct.
Tell us a bit more.
Quick plug, if you live in Sydney, I would recommend you tuning into 89.3 FM, which is also known as 2GLF radio station. It's a community station for Liverpool and Fairfield.
Please, tell us why we should do that, Pete.
Mainly because I'm co-hosting a program with a wonderful woman who goes by the name of Anne. You might also know her from the Twitters as Oz Women's Game. She also runs the website thewomensgame.com.
What's the show called?
The show, I'm building up for this because this is the climax here. It's called Beyond the 90.
It is, that's what it's called. Tell us a bit about the show.
So it's mainly going to be an hour long radio show looking at local football to Premier League to A-League, as well as looking overseas at England, Spain, Italy, Germany and so on.
I hear it's unedited. You never edit anything on it.
This is true, and I am quite scared because our listeners might not know, but we do actually do a lot of post-production work on our podcast.
That's right. Well, the occasional little bit, and if someone was to get something wrong on occasion, something crucial.
Well, for example, if I accidentally said behind the 90 rather than beyond the 90.
If you accidentally said the wrong name of your show after you'd built it up so much, that would just be awful, and then we would have to edit that, and yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of time wasted that could have been spent making more jokes about me being out of petrol and my car sitting out in the parking lot.
That's right, but you don't get to hear all that. Either way, that's the last plug that Pete Novakovsky gets for the football sack. That's about all we've got time for, guys. Just quickly, please go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/thefootballsack, and like our page. We're going to be having some exclusive content up there
Hopefully when I get some petrol in the car, we're actually able to take Matt here out to the film studio so we can
actually film
do video. Something with this Kevin Muscat jersey.
Yeah, so get on there and like that because, we'd love to start interacting with you guys a bit more. But of course, you can still follow us on Twitter, interact with us there. You can jump on our website, and that website is
www.thefootballsack.com.
I hear it's really good.
It is. There are plenty of articles I've written up there. I'm just putting it out there.
Thanks for that, Pete. We really value your input.
Yay!
Weekly.
Boo.
More than weekly. Twice. Three times weekly.
That's what she said.
Wow. We've been Matt Greenlaw and Pete Novakovsky. Thanks for your time. See you next week.
See you guys.